through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Tim.
Kia ora.
How are you going?
Tēnā kōrua.
Hi.
What's up?
There's two of us in here. How are you going there? Nice.
Great.
Yeah, good.
Great.
Anika is hanging out this morning.
Anika's new test.
The new test.
Temporary test
for the next 2 days. Also, you know, person in your own right as well. But we digress from the media, and the media's been kind of a lot lately. What's actually been going on?
Well, I've got two things I want to talk about, and the first is the leaders' debate, which was last night on TVNZ.
I know a lot of people tuned into that. A lot of BFM listeners watched. I watched.
What were your hot takes, Rachel?
It was interesting. It was a lot. It was also not a lot at the same time.
Yeah,
I felt it was lacking in some bits and pieces.
It's just television, man. It's a bad thing. It's a bad medium.
You heard it here on Media Bat TV, bad medium.
Very spicy. It's such a tricky format to try and get anything meaningful said. And there was a lot of criticism, and I think rightly so, and I'm actually going to play a clip in a little bit that pertains to this, about the fact that it's called the leaders' debate, but there's only two people there.
Yeah.
And we're in an MMP system. Like,
well,
there are more than two leaders in this country.
Completely.
But
yeah.
With things already being so contracted with like ad breaks and everyone having to speak in sound bites already that are so tight, like that problem will get even worse the more people you add onto a stage.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, is there a different way we could be doing this, you know?
I found, we were talking about this off, I found the cameras a little bit distracting. Everyone was kind of looking in different places and I wasn't really entirely sure where we were in the room.
Everything's a little bit different because of COVID, so they didn't have an audience, which they normally would, which would assist with determining where the camera angles were, but
David Lynch movie in the corner.
You were behind a wall, like looking around to Judith Collins, seeing what she was up to. Anyway, we should probably talk about the substance of it. Judith Collins actually did really well, I thought. Leader of the Opposition did a good job of being the Leader of the Opposition. There was a much made on Twitter of her continually calling the Prime Minister Miss Ardern.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think I had a ever so brief Twitter beef with the boss of BFM. I don't know if she wants to come and have a debate about that now. I don't know if there's time. But yeah, it was like, I don't know. It was kind of exactly what you expected.
Yeah.
there were no major surprises.
I think that is kind of what I took away from it. I was like, I didn't feel like I necessarily, I mean, this also could just be me. Other people might have different opinions, but I didn't feel like I learned a huge deal more than I already knew from that debate.
Totally. One other observation that was coming through very strong on Twitter was that a lot of people crowned John Campbell as the winner. And I've actually got a clip, which was my favourite bit of the whole debate. And it's terrible that he said my favourite bit of the debate, but it just so happened that that was the case this time. So can I play that?
You can play that.
Here's John Campbell.
From that,
I just look at your tax policies, and it feels to me like you're both on autopilot. The Nats have come out with a tax policy, it's fiscal stimulus, but you're not delivering it to the people most likely to spend it. Labor's come out with an increase of the TOPS tax rate. On people earning over $180,000 a year, it's going to raise $500 million per annum. It is essentially almost meaningless, isn't it?
And
aren't you both lazily kind of conforming to Labor Party and National Party orthodoxy?
I don't know.
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but yas, Queen.
Yas, John Campbell.
That was the highlight of the debate for me. And it was kind of an accidental revelation that there should have been more people with more diverse ideas on that stage than the two incredibly centrist parties.
That's interesting, yeah.
As we head into early voting's real soon. Anyway, the big meaty thing that I wanted to talk about in addition to that is Julian Assange's trial, which is happening at the moment and getting very little media attention.
Yeah, I was going to say, swerving into a very different lane over here, but
big time, very important. But this is media in its most like broad and in some ways important sense. So Julian Assange, my God, where do you even start? He founded WikiLeaks and he's been in a high security prison for the last 16 months in the UK. after he came out of the Ecuadorian embassy where he had been for years kind of hiding out because the US have been trying to extradite him.
This is right. My brain's kind of like trying to remember all of the bits to this long story about Julian Assange.
I've been reminding myself on some of the finer points. I'll try and hit the important stuff. But basically, this all stems from a huge amount of leaks that Julian Assange was instrumental in publishing through WikiLeaks. It's really important to remember Julian Assange is not an American citizen, so it's quite weird that America is trying to extradite him for American charges in America.
That's not usual.
Nikki, this has got a New Zealand angle as well, because Nikki Haga actually gave video evidence to the court case that's happening in the Old Bailey at the moment, which is the extradition trial. And this relates to a ton of information that was leaked over many, many years. There were a bunch of embassy cables that got leaked. And there was one video in particular that people might remember, which was sort of subsequently called Collateral Murder, which was footage of a 2007 helicopter attack in Iraq that ended up killing multiple people, including some journalists and injuring some children. And it recorded the US Army personnel who were in the helicopter laughing about the attack as it was happening. It was about 38 minutes of footage. Initially, the US claimed that the footage was faked, and then the ball started rolling on getting these charges out. The general consensus view was that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks' role as a publisher was protected under the First Amendment of the US Constitution, so they shouldn't have faced charges. But the US they're trying to bring charges to Assange based on the Espionage Act, basically claiming that what he did aided the enemy.
Far out.
Yeah, so
this is like the kind of plot to Spooks that you couldn't write because it feels too unlikely. But
exactly, it's quite a complicated and messy story. And Julian Assange is a guy who is a complicated guy. He was facing I've got to be very particular with the language here. It wasn't charges weren't brought, but there was an investigation by the Swedish court into rape allegations, which subsequently got dropped against Assange. And basically, the US have been trying to extradite him for ages. So there's a bunch of irregularities that's been happening with this case that's happening in the Old Bailey right now. Really bad stuff. Some of it's COVID, some of it's tech not working. The judge has been quite obtuse. The most worrying bit that I've read about so far is that Amnesty International has been denied fair trial observers to be present in the court. So initially they were denied a seat, which is quite a regular thing. Like, they've observed trials in Guantanamo, Saudi Arabia, some of the, you know, least open to open justice systems in the world.
What's the purpose of having an observer in the court, is it?
To make sure that justice is being dealt with fairly. That the court proceedings is actually happening as they should and there aren't irregularities that unfairly disadvantage the defendant. Especially in this case, because you're facing the wrath of the entire United States Department of Justice. You know, there were some additional charges that were brought to Assange in June with a whole bunch of extra evidence. And Assange's lawyers basically said, look, there's no way that this can be admitted because it's brand new. We need time to be able to work through this with our client, who they haven't had access to for 6 months.
Far
this is the
out.
First time they've seen him in 6 months.
Wow.
The judge threw that out. So that evidence and those new charges will be able to be entered into. And then the Assange's lawyers said, OK, well, can we have an adjournment until next year so we can actually get our head around the new charges and evidence?
This is like a marathon of a situation, eh?
It's really bad. It's really complicated. It's been going on for ages. The judge also denied that. The judge granted Amnesty International a video link so that they could do sort of a teleconferencing fair trial observation, and then they revoked it on the day of. So the whole thing's pretty bad. I'll read a quote from Amnesty International. The US Justice Department is not only charging a publisher who has a non-disclosure obligation, but a publisher who is not a US citizen and not in America. The US government is behaving as if they have jurisdiction over the whole world to pursue any person who receives and publishes information of government wrongdoing. They also noted, it is ironic that no one responsible for the potential war crimes in Iraq and Afghanistan have been punished, yet the publisher who exposed these potential crimes is the one on the dock.
Far out. That is quite the heavy-hitting statement.
Yeah. Do you know how many years he's facing?
How many?
137.
Yikes. That's full on. That is a massive situation, and it's all kind of happening right now. Is that right?
Yeah, his extradition trial is happening right now.
Far out. Well, we'll definitely touch base on that one again, Tim. I think would be a good thing to do because there is a lot to unpack.
Oh, do you want a lighter one for me to end on?
Yeah, go on, hit us then. Hit us.
NZME have decided to give all New Zealand school children free access to the Herald Premium, which I think is freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's good, actually. That is really, really cool. I'm glad to hear that.
So good on you, NZME. I think that was a real pro move. Good on yous.
Craig's also texted in with his favourite bit from the debate last night. Would you like to hear it, Tim?
I would love to.
He said his favourite bit was John Campbell wanting a gym. Best comment of all night.
I feel bad that our best moments are both from John Campbell, you know?
Well, he's a national treasure.
Judith Collins defending the fact that her second home wasn't actually her second home, but in her trust. That was a highlight as well. Wow, there's good relatable Kiwi
good
content,
relatable
wasn't
content.
It? And that's Media Bat for today, the 23rd of September.
It's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.